Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Rick Schnabel is the Brain Untrainer. He is a behavioural expert with over 22,000 training and coaching hours. He is also a multiple best-selling author and is one of the most humble and calm people you'll ever meet. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Yeah, let's do.
Excellent. All right. Do you want to tell us a bit about you, where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Okay. I've had a lifestyle change. When I say a lifestyle change, about 7 years ago, I decided to create more life, less work. And even though I love what I do, I find actually that's a real huge challenge. If you love what you do, usually you've got to have a partner or a friend or someone to pull you out of the business. So what I did is about 7 years ago, I moved to the Sapphire Coast on New South Wales, Sapphire Coast, which is around the Rimbula area. And I love surfing. I love getting into the water. And so I typically work from home. So I work from my home office do as little as that as I possibly can. And when I am working, I'm typically coaching or I'm teaching.
Oh, nice. So what about your story? What's your story to actually get to this point then?
I guess the thing is that when I first started in advertising and then I moved on to marketing, and I was working for News Limited and I was working for one of their brands, the Herald Sun in Victoria. And I was working in marketing at the time, and I had a journalist come into my office with an envelope, and she threw the envelope on my desk and she said, "That's you." And I said, "I'm an envelope?" And she said, "No, I've just done a story on life coaching." And she said, "You're a natural at this and you are a life coach." And I recall resisting even opening that envelope. And this was back in 2002. I didn't even open that envelope for about 18 months. And I knew the day that I'd open that envelope, I'd want to do it. So, of course, I eventually did and came into the coaching industry. But there was a moment there, and I guess that's really what I want to share with everyone. There was a moment that my life completely changed. But let me give you a picture of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I was down to my last $27 in the bank. I had a $70,000 debt at the time, which was on credit cards and so forth. And I had a mortgage. So I had a big debt and not a lot of money. And I absolutely knew that it was my mindset that had a lot to do with that. And fortunately, as I was going through learning how to life coach, one of the teleclasses back then, we used to do lots of teleclasses, and there was a teleclass on prosperity thinking. And I can remember the lecturer talking about her father, and her father lived up on a hill, and he would drive his car down this hill, but instead of driving it, he would turn off the engine to save fuel. And I can remember she was having a big laugh about this. And as I'm listening to this teleclass, I thought, that's me. That's me. That's what I do. And, you know, I came from migrant parents who used to, you know, their big badge of honor was how poor they were. And so, of course, I started to believe that I was really poor too. So I had, you know, a poor upbringing. And so I had a poor DNA, and I had a poor mindset and a poor belief system. And so my life was a roller coaster of going up and down, you know, financially. And I can remember at this particular point, I said to my wife, after listening to this teleclass, I said, "That's it. The game is going to change." And I started really practicing thinking differently. And of course, I did a lot of work in that space too. And I can remember one particular day I had left my job in marketing. I was now in sales, and I was the worst salesperson in the entire organization. I was terrible at it. What I now know as a coach and as a trainer, I now know that it's a thing called a complex equivalence. And I used to have, and excuse anyone who's in sales listening to this right now, I used to have this complex equivalence, which salespeople equal sleazy, seller own grandmother, terrible people, et cetera, et cetera. So if you think about this mentally, I'm in this organization, in a sales organization, in a sales role. If I was super successful, that also means I'm super sleazy. I would sell many grandmothers, probably even yours. And, you know, so all of this, and I can remember in a coaching session, I was being coached, all of this came out. And I thought, oh my God, this is the thing that's stopping me. It's, I'm actually unconsciously sabotaging myself. And so what I did is I did everything different. I thought differently, acted differently, did a whole bunch of things differently. And I had one amazing pivotal moment. So this is the point when I'm really in a bad space. I've got this massive debt still. I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul, as they say, metaphorically. I don't know who Paul is or who Peter is, but, you know, I feel sorry for them both.
Yep.
But essentially, I was in my office and I was practicing what I was taught, you know, to really think prosperously and feel it and be it. And my phone rang. I picked up the phone. And in that one phone call, I made half a year's salary.
Wow.
And I had never made so much money in such a quick space of time. So I'm starting to get some complex equivalences around this. And I thought, okay, so I have experienced this thing. I was thinking these thoughts, feeling these feelings, and then I get this phone call. Is that coincidence? So what I did is I did it again. And I got another phone call. And the difference between the first amount and the second amount, because I got another half a year's salary in this next phone call, the difference was $1,000. And I thought, this is incredible. Now, you would think I'd get really excited, and I did. But what happens is you start to get to this point where you start thinking, what if I forget this? What if I don't know how to do this again? What if this was just a momentary thing and it's never, ever going to happen again? So I really stressed about this for about a week and nothing happened. You know, I went back to the sort of same results that I was getting before, nothing happened. And then I thought, I should do this again. So I went through this ritual, did it again, and my phone rang again. But this time I decided to take the ceiling off because there was $1,000 difference between the first and the second amount.
Yeah.
This next phone call, I earned a whole year's salary. And ever since that time, my life has never been the same. I've made an annual income. I remember in one talk I did, you know, once in Melbourne, I did this talk and I earned a whole year's salary in this one talk. And I realized that our thinking typically stops our results. And so for the last 16 years, I've been studying this. And I've been looking at the science of it, how it works, how we think and how we process. And I've realized that, you know, you really can turn your life on a dime. You really can turn your life around very fast. But there's a whole lot of indicators that determine what it is, you know. So I guess, you know, that was a real pivotal moment for me. And it came down to my very thinking.
It's huge, isn't it, our thinking, because it, when you were talking about sabotage, that really sort of connected. And yeah, I used to self-sabotage a lot until you start having that awareness of, well, what if I did something differently? And then, you know, stop those strategies and those things that we keep doing over and over and over again to get the same results.
Yeah.
Because we do that. We all get stuck in that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we look at the hamster wheel.
Yes.
And we think, you know, that this, you know, poor little critter, you know, jumps on this wheel and it just keeps going. But the truth is many of us are doing exactly the same thing, mm. Now, regardless of how intelligent we think we are.
Yeah.
You know, and it is really, first of all, it's becoming aware of what we don't want. And then it's about creating strategies to ensure that we can start getting what we do want. But, yeah. But you're absolutely right. You know, many of us get in these patterns, don't we?
Yeah, and once you become self-aware, I think you're right, that's the biggest part of the journey, isn't it? Like being self-aware so that you can actually do something about it. But until you bring it into your consciousness, it's really difficult to change anything because you're unaware that you're doing these same strategies over and over.
Absolutely. I mean, on that particular point, the moment, that time in my life when I was working in marketing for News Limited, I used to think that I was depressed. And I realized later on when I studied and I became very, very aware of who I was, I realized that one of my meta programs was I was big picture. You know, I wasn't detail. So any time in my work, which was a very detailed job, whenever I was given real detailed tasks, my energy would plummet. And equally, I was more people focused than project focused. So, you know, quite often, you know, they would say, can you go into your office and create one of those brand reports on this new brand we're creating? And so, of course, you pull yourself into the office and you sit at your desk and you can feel your energy going down, 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 down. And then all of a sudden someone goes past your office and stops at the door, says, coffee? And your energy immediately comes up. And I'm aware of that now. But back then I used to think, I wasn't aware of enough to realize that what I was feeling was really just going against my character. And going against my preferences and going against my values. But I misread it and, you know, thought that I was actually depressed. So I could have quite easily gone down the medication route and, you know, and so forth. And listening to me, I would have been very convincing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would have been, you know, probably on medication right up to this point in my life, probably.
Yeah.
But instead I got out of that career and got into a career that suited my profile in a much better way. So I'm so with you on that. I think awareness is so, so key whenever we're transforming. It's good to know who we are and what our preferences are.
Yeah, exactly. So as you've traveled along then, once you started making the changes, we often, you know, zigzagged until we find the right, you know, way we want to go. It's never a straight path, is it? Do you have like lightning bolt moments, or is it like a slow rumble before you make a change?
It was probably 40 years of frustration. And, you know, I when I was 7 years old, I went into my library card was my best friend, being a very poor kid. You know, you didn't buy books, you borrowed them. And one day I found myself in the psychology section, you know, instead of the kids section. And I started reading a book called I'm Okay, You're Okay. So even back then, I knew that there was something very wrong with the way that I was thinking. But I really wasn't smart enough or intellectual enough or have the sort of processing mind to be able to, you know, all the resources to help me to get out of that. So there was really just 40 years of frustration, and, you know, it, and then there were little ups and downs there because you learn new things. Like the story I shared with you that, you know, I did a talk and earned a year's income. Well, the guy that actually taught me how to do that blew my brains out. And when I say blew my brains out, he started teaching me how to do this. And I asked him, I said, you know, so when you do this, what do you get? What do you earn? What have you done? And he said, well, it kind of varies, you know, depending on the weekend, you know, anywhere between 3 to 6 million. And, you know, so typically when you hear those sorts of things, you know, it's usually so quantum sometimes, you know, it's so massive that it fights against our belief system. It fights against what we know to be true. And of course we, you know, we'll immediately say, come on, are you having a lend to me? Because it just doesn't fit with our paradigm. And so therefore it almost literally blows our mind. You know, we don't have a filter. We don't have a measurement to be able to fully grasp or understand that, you know? So I think, The greatest things that have ever happened to me over the years is working with coaches. I so believe in the industry. I think the world actually needs coaches. And I think, you know, if there's anyone listening, if you don't have a coach, get one.
Yes.
You know, the coach is going to be the difference. And, you know, you can get different coaches for different things. I highly recommend people kind of work with a coach for a while, then maybe work with another or work with two in different areas. In the very early days, I had a business coach, which helped me to know about how to build my business, how to grow my business. I had also a training coach who taught me how to be a trainer, how to be a good trainer. And I also had a spiritual coach at the time because I think I need my spiritual coach mostly because, you know, at first, I'll be honest, my ego really grew because I was very successful. I was making a lot of money. You know, many of my peers were, you know, who I studied with in the early days were coming and saying, can you teach me? And I even had my mentor who came to me and said, can you teach me? So, you know, my ego got really big. And my spiritual coach was great because what she did is she really grounded me. And in fact, she gave me longevity because she helped me to find my real purpose, my real why. And I realized that the greatest formula for success is contribution. Mm. You know, it's really about giving. And remember, I mean, I used to be the kid that would go to a smorgasbord and eat as much as I possibly could to get my money's worth and end up with a weight problem. Yeah. You know? So the thing is that I learned later on through many of my coaches that, you know, I look at these fundamental principles that really guide and steer my life now. And my spiritual coach helped me to find my purpose, be the contributor, and also to, you know, she kept asking me, you know, why are you here? Why were you born? You know, questions like that. And they're real purposeful questions. Yeah. And I moved away from competition. You know, stop thinking in competitive ways, started thinking more in collaborative ways, which was a big paradigm shift for me. And then she got me thinking equally about contribution rather than taking. You know, of course, we all end up doing well financially when you give a lot. Mm. You just naturally do. But it's focusing in the right areas. So the zigzags straightened out a lot when I use coaches and work with them as partners in my business and in my journey.
Yeah. So you were talking about having that purpose and finding your why. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you. What keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Have you got a specific mission to get a message out there, or what is it that keeps you going?
Yeah, I guess the thing is life really changed when I became a father, I think. You know, I've got two daughters, one who is currently just about to turn 17, another who is just turned 13. And I often think about them and I think, you know, at the end of the day, one of my mentors kept talking about this phrase, legacy. What legacy are you going to leave? And I did a huge amount of work with him. And he really taught me that it is very important for humanity for us really to leave value. And the more value that we can leave to our teenagers, to our young adults, you know, to our colleagues and friends and others, it creates opportunity where we can really develop and evolve ourselves. One of my mentors said, you'll often find your legacy, which is based upon your biggest challenges, you know, as a child leading up to teenage years or in your teenagehood. And I was bullied a lot as a kid. You know, I seemed to have a neon sign above my head that said, punch me. And, you know, I have this strange surname, you know, Schnabel. And I grew up in an era when, you know, there was a lot of racism. And anyone who wasn't Smith, Jones, Roberts, etc., you were introduced by, what's your name? And I'd say, Rick Schnabel. And then it followed with a punch.
Yeah.
And so that was terrible. It was a horrible time. I had a horrible time at school. I was very emotional, very sad. I think this kind of led to me even thinking I had depression. And so what happened was it gave me my purpose because, you know, we call ourselves humankind, but there's some behaviors that are far from kind. And equally, a safer society is a more prosperous society. A safer society is also a less violent society. And, you know, and I think that violence often comes from unresourcefulness and anger comes from unresourcefulness. So I see the job that I'm doing, the job that, you know, other coaches like yourself and others are doing is really helping people to become resourceful so that instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting angry, instead of getting violent because there's nothing else that they can think to do, people can get clever. You know, people can start finding how to solve a problem because, you know, I've known it in the past that when I haven't been able to solve a problem, that there's a feeling that comes into your body, you know, which if you're an introvert, it often turns to sadness. So you invert it. If you're an extrovert, it starts getting loud and raucous and, you know, look out. And so, you know, the thing that I think we're going to be really careful of is that, you know, our job, I think, is to really put some really good tools out there, some really good models to follow, some great insights and great philosophies that help us work together and bring us all together as a population. And if we can walk out of our houses at night, you know, down dark streets, and our daughters and our sons are safe, well, then I think what happens is we end up with a happier society, a more prosperous society, and a more collaborative society. And so, you know, in a very long-winded way, you know, from a very short question, that's I guess my real purpose. That's really what I want to do in this lifetime.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate you telling us a bit of your story.
You're welcome.
So what about going forward? Like you were talking about having the lifestyle and making sure you don't work too much. And that, what's exciting about the future that you look forward to?
The thing that I look forward to is I think because of information technology, because of the rapid speed of communication, because of the many tools we now have that allow us to come together quickly, do something fast, I'm really excited about, you know, teaching more and more people how to get their message out there, you know, inspiring more coaches to get out there and help other people to keep sending, you know, really good fodder out there that people can get into and get that shift, get that change. Yeah. And I know for me personally, when I went from being the poor kid to being the rich guy, I got so excited, you know, and I'm an introvert. That's my typical Myers-Briggs personality indicator. but, you know, an introvert can become very vocal when they get very passionate about something and they've had a big transformation. And I could not get on stage. I could not get on TV and radio and mags, you know, because I was so excited about what happened in my life that I wanted to share it with everyone. Yeah. So the thing that really excites me is there are more and more people learning coaching. There are more and more people learning how to really transform other people and themselves. And this is a real movement now. And, you know, I'm not biased by any modality. You know, I believe that everyone has a different doorway to go through. Some go through the life coaching, mentoring, Reiki, you know, myofascial therapy, you know, you name it, psychology, psychotherapy, whatever it is. But the beauty is there are many, many doors opening. And I get very excited about that. And I was teaching NLP, I was teaching public speaking, trainer training, and life coaching for, what is it now, the last 15 years. And this is the year that I retire from that, which is very scary, I've got to say, because I've been doing it for a long time. But I'm retiring from it because I want to force myself to go into on bigger stages, in bigger rooms, to get this message out in a much bigger way. And the message that I really want to put out is that you can transform your life. Yeah. And I guess I had a coaching session just the other day, and my coach was working on me, and she really recognized, she's a great coach, she really recognized that I had this pattern. Now, this might sound crazy, but I had this pattern, and please, as I describe this, my mother is not a terrible person. So there's a disclaimer that goes with this prior.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mother, because of her poor upbringing, you know, she'd go to the, she'd do a shopping, and probably out of guilt every now and then, she would buy, you know, those plastic zoo animals that you typically get in those horrible plastic bags, yes. You know, that are usually at eye level for kids. And she would get one of those every now and then, and she would throw it at me. And she would say, "You don't deserve this, but here you are."
Yeah.
So what that led to me thinking and believing was that I didn't deserve anything, really. So that really allowed me, like, I've made millions of dollars and lost it, you know. And actually that very stuff was the actual cause of it. Because what I would do is I'd make a lot of money and then get rid of it as quickly as possible because I felt guilty about having it. And it all came down to that. And so I guess for me, I'm very, very excited about, you know, what comes of that. And what I got from this coaching session was that my life actually is a complete polarity from who I am today to who I was as a kid and a teenager and a young adult. So, you know, I've really discovered my core message. My core message is you can go from the worst possible scenario that you could ever imagine for yourself and go to the wildest, most craziest, the most desirable thing you could ever imagine for yourself. Anything is possible, but you got to have, A, you got to be willing to do it, do the work. B, you got to get a really good coach, you know, to help you, you know, to change your mindset and help introduce new programs to actually allow you to get there. So this was a huge epiphany for me, and it came at the right time because I'm now going out reinventing myself. And, you know, at 2020, I'm going to be saying, I am no longer the NLP trainer. I'm no longer the life coach trainer. And of course, people are going to say, well, who are you then?
Yeah.
And I really want to be an advocate for coaching. I want to be an advocate for transformation. And, you know, sure, I still coach, but I don't coach all that much anymore. I really just simply want to get on stages. I want to get on TV, get on radio and talk about this. Yeah. And really educate, because I think if I can do that, it opens the door for many, many coaches to do that good work. And there's so many really good skilled coaches out there that can really help you to actually do that. So that, to me, made a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. And it is exciting too, because as coaches, we have done a lot of personal development on ourselves. We've been able to be more aware of what's going on, what's holding us back. So I think that's very exciting too, to think about the future, that we can actually help others do the same. But there is constant work to be done. Like, you don't realize sometimes what's holding you back when you reach a certain point. So then, oh, okay, I've got to address that, but you've got the awareness to do that. So, yeah, I love that. So that's awesome. I look forward to seeing you in 2020 and what you're doing.
Thank you, Leanne.
All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Yep, okay, cool.
All right, what's your favourite book?
Illusions by Richard Bach.
Oh, nice. Do you have a particular mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Yeah, I've had many mentor figures that have helped me the most, but there was a guy called Christopher Howard many years ago who was quite a big name here in Australia and America, and he was teaching people neuro-linguistic programming. And he, I think, is probably responsible for the biggest shifts and changes in my life. But that doesn't say there are many others who I could equally acknowledge.
Yeah. What daily ritual works best for you?
The daily ritual that really works best for me is walking along a beach, which I do first thing in the morning. I like going out with my wife and, you know, taking our kids to school, and we take our dogs, we walk along a beach, and that's where we have our business meeting. And, you know, that's when we plan for the day. And it really sets a really good frame for the day.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a favourite food?
Thai.
I'm thinking it's Thai, yep. Nice. Like the country or the city?
I actually like both. I live in the country, so I've got to say living right near the beach and going surfing every now and then with dolphins and in crystal clear water, country.
Yeah, gorgeous. What about the biggest piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change?
The biggest piece of advice I would say is make a decision. Now, I know that might sound very simplistic, but a lot of people think because they're thinking, they're making decisions and they're taking action, and they're not. You know, that's just thinking. Decisions is really what transforms people's business, people's lives. They say, that's it. From now on, we're doing this, or I'm never doing that again. And that sounds like a real decision. This is not a decision. Well, what could we do instead? Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. What about this strategy? That's thinking. So I would say decide.
Yeah, like it. All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I would go back to myself, and I think something that I would say is, I would say it's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be very exciting, and I think you're going to love your life, and don't get caught up with all the crap that's going on now.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Rick. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Yeah, cool. The best place would be our website, because there's a whole bunch of free resources and all sorts of things on that site. So the site is lifebeyondlimits.com.au.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Leanne. Thank you for your time today.
Igniters, Rick is extremely knowledgeable and skillful as a transformational leader and executive coach. He totally believes anyone can transform their life, and it is so important for humanity to leave value as their legacy. If you want to contact Rick, go to his website, www.lifebeyondlimits.com. If you want to bring a coach into your life to make the difference, go to my website, www.leanneblaney.com.